And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is first impressions and second chances. Each of my guests is discussing the importance of a strong first impression or recovering a second chance. My first guest is the popular QVC personality, and he turned his attention to writing a book about second chances of the famous and not so famous. The book is titled, Can I Get a Do-Over? Unforgettable Stories of Second Chances and Life Makeovers. My second guest understands how important first impressions are when it comes to product marketing. He's the CEO of a marketing firm in New York who believes that most Super Bowl ads are a waste of time and money, and he explained why. My next guest has taught over 1,000 executives how to network. He'll explain the importance of proper usage of social media to make a positive first impression in a job search. We'll also talk about the 9 lessons in technology etiquette for job seekers. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Bill Belknap is a certified 5 o'clock club master coach, career coach. He is a he leads weekly strategy groups for job hunters who earn more than $100,000 a year. He's the co-author of For Executives Only, Applying Business Techniques to Your Job Search. Bill is considered an expert on networking and has taught, as I said, over 1,000 executives how to have maximum impact through building and nurturing networks. In 1992, he co-founded a management consulting firm where he focuses on executive and career coaching. Bill not only knows the trick of the trades for executive job search, but he's also an amateur magician, and he has completed over 25 triathletes. He's a graduate of Denison University and a 20-year resident of Ridgewood, New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Bill. How are you today?
Thanks. I'm good, Bill.
Well, it's great to have you on the show, and thank you so much for coming in and being a subject matter expert for us. Now, I want to talk about the new paradigm that we've got in job search because of all the new tools, email, social networking, cell phones, Blackberries, et cetera. They've all become part of our 21st century life. However, these tools, they can be useful in a job search, but if you mishandle these tools, they can also be deadly. It can put you one click away from sinking your job hopes. So how have tools like social networks, PDAs, and everything else transformed the job search both for better and for worse?
Well, let me start out by the misuse, because obviously they are just an incredible phenomena, and they're going to become even more so. The, you know, top 50 companies use Twitter to recruit the new generation. I mean, there's no question that makes an impact. But talk a little bit about the misuse. A couple things. Good old cell phones, which we now almost have gotten to be landlines, right?
Right. My children have given up their landlines for cell phones.
Oh, man, yeah. So number one is not using a cell phone for an interview. And the first interview today in today's world, as you know, Bill, is about 99 times out of 100 is going to be a phone screen. And the last thing you want in that, and love your theme of this first impression, of your first impression is 2 sentences into your pitch, you get disconnected.
Right. Nothing more embarrassing.
So this is the one time to go back to old technology is when you know you're going to be screened. Another one is texting, which particularly in the youngest generations has become their email now. But texting is a very personal and often social tool, and so texting a potential boss is a great way to not make a good first impression.
And why is that, Bill? Because that's an interesting one. Texting is personal. It's one-to-one. If I text you, I mean, I know that it's going directly to you, and nobody's going to screen it.
Absolutely. But if I'm a hiring manager, first of all, what is your subject going to be? You know, hi, Bill, it's me, Joan. And I'm going, who the heck is Joan?
Right.
So there is almost no way for you to make a good first impression by texting a potential boss or hiring manager.
All right, so save that for later once you've developed a rapport, maybe some...
Exactly.
Okay, all right, I get it.
Also, calling a potential a boss on their cell phone, unless it's stated as their primary line. And that's a big asterisk because many of us know that today, on the contact information, the only phone is the cell phone. Therefore, that would be appropriate.
All right. Now, why wouldn't you want to call somebody on their mobile phone?
Well, again, the mobile, even though it's become almost de facto the landline, it still is. It's a personal number for me.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
And so I do not think that is a good way to make a first impression. So let's now flip this into what is a good way to make a first impression through contacting, because we know we have to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, being a lifelong HR professional, God bless us HR professionals, but remember, everybody who's not in human resources, our job is to screen you out, not screen you in.
Right.
So you want to avoid us if you can. So your job is to get to the decision maker. And one of the best ways to do that and to ensure your message gets there is, believe it or not, is good old snail mail. Snail mail is so unique today. Think about it, Bill. When's the last time you got a personal letter?
It has been a long time. And snail mail is definitely unique because it is so infrequently used. That's true.
It is so infrequently used. So it's, and particularly if you have a nice handwriting. If you don't, please type it. But a couple things it does. It avoids the electronic black hole, which we've all experienced. It also avoids the more sophisticated firewalls, because what they do is they knock off anything that has an attachment. And if you're not in their friends of the family list. So there is a great reason. Now, you actually can do both, and I would suggest you do both, is you can still contact electronically, because the last thing, particularly if you're in the high-tech world, you want to be seen as is not being high-tech.
Right.
And so you do both.
All right. Well, let me stop you there, Bill, and let me drill down and ask you some questions on this, because this is an interesting concept that you've just brought up. By the way, we're talking to Bill Belknap, everybody, about Job Search 2.0. You say send a snail mail. All right, but a snail mail we know is going to be, if it's sent to a hiring manager, it's going to be intercepted by that manager's assistant, opened, probably screened, probably not get to the hiring manager directly, because that assistant is going to say, ah, this is something for HR. And now that regular snail mail is going to have to be sent down to HR, scanned into the HR database, because most of them use scanners these days.
Correct.
And now you're just back in the pool with all the other fishes.
No, that is a great point. And one of the techniques we teach at the 5 o'clock club is what we call targeted mailing. So that opening paragraph to the hiring manager is not the usual pablum. Do you need someone that can increase your sales 15%? As soon as the screener sees that, it's down to HR or into the waste paper basket.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's Bill Frank suggested I write you, John, well, now it's like a networking connection. In fact, it is a networking lead. And so you have to make sure, and this is a whole thing that someone would have to get involved in the 5 o'clock methodology to really understand it, but this is how you break that scheme. And very often, if that opening paragraph is really compelling, another one could be, and picking on you, Bill, is say, Bill, I heard your presentation that you gave at the San Francisco Economics Club, and when you talked about guerrilla marketing, dot, 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 dot. Well, now that screener, your secretary or assistant, it's going to say, hey, look at this. They heard you at the Economics Club. Bingo, you've broken the code.
Right, you've broken the code, but that's the cover letter. You still have this unsightly attachment on the back called your resume, and at some level the assistant's going to go, well, wait a minute, there's still a resume attached to this. This is probably going down to HR. It may land on the decision maker's desk, but is that a guarantee that it's going to put you at the top of the pile when it comes for interviews?
Well, this is a good... again, great question, because that assumes that you always attach your resume.
Ah, and you don't always.
If you have a compelling cover letter, we say that you do not need the resume, because if the content in the cover letter is compelling, they're then going to reach out to you. And particularly the higher up in the hierarchy you are, the more we say it should just be a compelling letter. If you're entry level, then yes, you're probably going to want to attach the resume. And ultimately, Bill, you're right. It is going to get to HR. Even the hiring manager can't bypass his own organization.
Right.
But guess what? If it just gets a margin note from the hiring manager, and let's pretend you're the hiring manager, so you write on the margin note, hey, Janet, take a look at this. I like this guy's stuff. Boom. Do you think my name now rises to the top of the list just with that little margin note you wrote?
It does. Absolutely. We're talking to Bill Belknap, everybody. He is a certified trainer for the 5 O'Clock Club, and we're talking about etiquette, I guess you would call it netiquette for the
net etiquette.
Of job search right now. And then we're bringing up some very interesting points, how you can make yourself distinctive in that hyper-competitive job search market that's out there. All right, so snail mail is one way that you can cut through the clutter. I like that. What are some other positive things that you can do in the job search, Bill?
Okay, because the technology is the one of the themes here for us in that this netiquette. One is the World Wide Web. It is still the single best tool that any job hunter has at their fingertips. Not only can you research people, whether it's through Facebook, whether it's through LinkedIn, whether it's just putting my name in Google search, you can research the company you're interviewing with. You can research their competitors. You can check with blogs to see what other people are saying about them. In fact, there's an interesting site called Glassdoor.
Yes.
And Glassdoor actually collects comments of people who have worked at Fortune 1000 companies. It's amazing.
Well, let's talk about that if we can, Bill, because Glassdoor tends to be a little bit on the negative side. You get disgruntled employees who post things on Glassdoor. So you tend to see mostly negative, don't you, on that?
Obviously, the nasty comments get published because it's good reading.
Right.
But on balance, when you look, you notice that it sounds like you're familiar with Glassdoor. You look at the grading, which is a 1 to 5 scale. And that's first what I look at. It's fun to look at the comments, but it's also good to see what people are saying. And so I think it's just one other tool, because there is a huge toolbox with this World Wide Web. I think blogs are one of the most positive blogs about a company, because in terms of what's going on, let's say you're getting ready to interview with Microsoft and you go to one or two of the Microsoft blogs, those will often be very serious discussions about things Microsoft is getting into, about to get into, or sometimes where they've stubbed their toe. And that is just invaluable for a sophisticated interviewer, because they can talk about it. They can say, hey, we understand you're having some challenges with the ABC software. And a lot of people are very reluctant to do that in an interview, but hey, what is the tough competitive companies like the Googles of the world and the Microsofts, what do they want in their employees?
They want tough competitive people.
they want someone that can ask the tough questions, right?
Right.
The last thing you want is to get blindsided.
Mm. Well, that's a good point. So blogs are another good source. And what are some other things that we should look for, Bill?
Well, that is your Library of Congress about any company and individual. While you should go to your library, because the research librarians have gotten to be job info experts, because probably 70% of the people today that approach the research librarian in either a university library or a public library are asking about something to do with job search. So they become very, very good. And there are some other tools, particularly ones that libraries have access to that the public doesn't. So that is another area, that another stone I would make sure you turn over.
All right. Now, you've given us a lot of good information, Bill. Tell us about the 5 O'Clock Club, that you give this information out in your regular meetings and so forth. What is the 5 O'Clock Club, and why would people be interested in it?
Okay, great question. We've been around for over 25 years. It was founded by Kate Wendleton. Back in the days when she saw very early to see that companies were no longer going to take care of your career. And so in the beginning, it was helping people take charge of their own career. So it was strictly about career path planning, where do you want to go next, how do you get there? And then as companies, unfortunately, in this country particularly, started to downsize, we got into this area called outplacement.
And so if people, Bill, want to learn more about it, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
The 5oclockclub.com.
5oclockclub. Is that the numeral 5 or the F-I-V-E?
Guess what? Either works.
Either one works. All right. That's great. The 5oclockclub.com. Bill, it has been great. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.